Hi there, I'm Tom Schultz, host of Voices of Montana, an issue-oriented newsmaker radio program. It's heard weekdays on 19 radio stations with 28 signals all across our great treasure state. Thank you for clicking on the podcast. Please subscribe, and we'll do our best to keep you connected. We're also on Facebook and on the web at voicesofmontana.com, where I'd love to hear from you. Please contact me at tom@voicesofmontana.com. Of course, we're going to talk about our leading industry in Montana, agriculture, today as we kind of look back at this national FFA convention. I know it's FFA. You might remember it, previously known as Future Farmers of America, but that was quite a while ago. But look at how big this organization is. There's like almost 300,000. Is that right? Maybe even, what have I got here? Oh, I know what 300,000 is. That's the number of young producers in this country. We're going to talk about that. We'll talk about that transition. It's over a million now, a million students across 9,400 chapters. Claire Murnian's in studio here today. We'll talk with Charlie Shaw and Angela Mayfield. They're from Roundup. Megan Iron, the executive director of the Montana FFA, on today on Voices of Montana. We are surrounded here with FFAers. As you know, and I was telling them, like Colton Young, mm-hmm. broadcaster, Andy Schwab, Joe Lackman's mm-hmm. in studio here. I get a strong feeling they're going to bust in here at some point and take over the show.
One can only hope.
Yeah, that would be a relief to Claire Murnian, who's in studio. Claire, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm well. How are you?
Doing good. Thank you for coming in. I appreciate that. We're going to have a little bit of fun, and there's a lot of things to talk about. A number of guests on the phone here as well. Let's just roll into that. The executive director and newly appointed executive director for the Montana FFA is Megan Iron. Megan, how are you? What's going on?
I'm doing awesome. Thanks for having us this morning. Just recuperating after last week being in Indianapolis for national convention.
And it was your first, wasn't it, as an executive director?
It was my first, but definitely not my last. I sent the board of directors an email on Monday recapping what I experienced and some items that I want to discuss and execute. And I told them, you know, going annually would be imperative, and I would love to go each year. So
yeah, and it's vital. I mean, for growth, for the kids too. I mean, there's so many challenges there. Just fresh from there, let's welcome Angela Mayfield, Roundup Ag teacher and advisor for the FFA. Good morning, Angela. How are you?
Good morning. So glad to be here. I've got kids working out in the shop, so I've got another teacher keeping an eye on them. So if you hear some saws running in the background, we're fully running this morning. But I'm super grateful to be on the show with you today.
That's good. We want to hear saws running in the background. So, Charlie Shaw, you're not operating a saw right now, are you, Charlie?
No, that's later. That's next period.
Oh, okay. All right. Charlie Shaw is a Roundup student and Montana FFA member and also fresh from this national FFA convention experience. I'm going to ask Angela, your thoughts on it as well. Megan expressed, you know, it was her first time there. And honestly, Megan, there's more for you to share, I know, because it was eye-opening in a lot of ways. But Angela, Charlie, what do you guys take away from this convention experience?
Sure. Well, as Megan was talking, I was thinking, when was my first convention? And it was in 1996 in Kansas City, Missouri. So I have been to quite a few FFA conventions, but I'll tell you, this was one of the most impactful for me. You know, they've got nearly 80,000 students that are future leaders in the agriculture industry all in one space. And I had the chance to be there with, we had 23 Roundup FFA members, and six of those wow. students were competing in the National Agriculture Issues Competition. And so pretty proud moment to represent Roundup and to represent Montana at the national convention.
Yeah. Charlie, what's your experience? What do you take away?
It was crazy cool. I mean, this was my first national convention. So, I mean, like, just seeing that insanely large group of people all there for, you know, being there for young leaders in agriculture is really awesome. And, I mean, it's eye-opening, too, as a young kid, traveling to crazy new places and meeting all different types of people. That's an experience you don't get to see very often. And I think that's one of the coolest parts about FFA. Definitely.
Yeah. And it was huge, you know, 80,000 there.
Oh
yeah.
My goodness.
That's big. Claire Murnian is the Montana FFA state president and no stranger to conventions. And we've chatted with you down the road. You're doing a podcast, There was another honor that we'll talk about here a bit later on. And I want to ask you your experience, but kind of comment on Megan's experience. Kind of comment, too, on Charlie Shaw's experience as well.
Yes. So I remember my first ever national FFA convention. I was a freshman in high school, and I had just gone for fun. I was there for the experience. And those are moments that I believe that I will never forget, seeing the finals hall stage where the top four speakers in the nation get to present their speeches was an absolutely unmatched feeling, knowing that the best of the best are there to compete. And the best of the best are also there to help build the future of agriculture. You walk around the expo and there's all these amazing companies and organizations that are there to support those young leaders. And that feeling still holds true today as I just finished up my fifth national convention. Every single time there's something new to learn. And there's new experiences that can be had. And there's you truly never get bored of going to national FFA. There's so much to experience. And so really from the first all the way up to fifth and years worth of going, there it truly is special every single year. And you take something out of it every single year that you're there.
And it prepares you in a lot of ways, too. How do you feel it has prepared you? And I know you're still young, still lots of future ahead of you there as well. And you don't have to have it all dialed in right now. But how did it prepare you for whatever that's going to be?
I think that there's so many different ways that we can look at how National FFA Convention is preparing you for the future. I especially think that the expo, which is full of different organizations and potential careers, is a great way that it can prepare you to just opening up your eyes to all the different careers in agriculture. But then I also think that the career development events and leadership development events that students are competing in each year are so critical to help students prepare for their future careers, whether it's learning communication skills or even learning just simple organization. That can teach you a lot about who you are as a person and a leader and how you will continue to use those skills in the workplace in the future.
I appreciate that. Claire Murnian again in studio here, and you're just up the road a little bit, aren't you?
Yes, sir, I am.
Garfield County?
No, I'm in Yellowstone County.
Okay.
I'm from Pompey Spiller.
Oh,
yes.
Gotcha, right. My fault, yes.
No, you're
Thank
all good.
You. There's a few Murnians running around, though, in that area. I'm going to go back to Megan. Megan Iron is the executive director, again, Montana FFA Foundation. Megan, let's talk about preparing people like Claire and Charlie for these leadership positions. And, you know, along with that, as I mentioned earlier, we've been discussing and people are planning for a succession for a lot of these lands. And there is a youth movement, I would say. It picked up a couple of years ago. Maybe it's a decade plus. I think we're starting to see some fruit from that. But talk about that in regards to how this helps spur that youth movement and what you make of it.
Sure. So let's start off by, you can tell, listening to both Charlie and Claire and their comments that both of them are articulate and well-spoken, and FFA is absolutely doing its job. When we spend time and have conversations with the FFA students, it just amazes me each time. So
Me too, by the way. Me too. Yeah.
It's invigorating. It's exciting every single time. So, you know, I'm the executive director for the foundation, so I really look at this from a different light. And, you know, I go to convention and I meet with people talking about the FFA students and their stories in terms of how can we progress, how can we get better, and then at the end of the day, is it how can I support these FFA students? So just like you're talking about, we're creating the new and even better future of agriculture leaders. And that, as you mentioned, you know, there's this shift in wealth happening, there's the shift in land happening, and if we do not nurture all of the different roles, you know, it's not just ranch owners, it's the veterinarians, it's the sales of the feed, it's the, you know, there's the lobbyists who are, you know, going to Washington, D.C. and wanting to lobby for agriculture issues, which, as we know, there are some right now. It's all of the various roles that we nurture within FFA to really broaden, you know, students' eyes in terms of what is possible. And the other cool thing that I love about it is a lot of the students that are a part of FFA didn't necessarily come from an agriculture background. They're coming from all sorts of backgrounds. And what that is doing is creating a community of lots of different types of people that want to put their efforts and skills into this industry. And how cool is that? It just is going to keep growing and growing.
Why, Charlie? Charlie Shaw, Roundup student, a Montana member of the FFA. And I think Angela said there was 23 from Roundup that went there. Charlie, if you're considering a career in agriculture, why?
That's a great question, actually, because, I mean, I definitely am. Like, being a junior in high school, I mean, you start to think about that stuff. And I guess the only way I can put it into words is I think about how much value I have upon FFA based off, like, what it's given me, all of the career skills I have, and everything I've learned from FFA, like the necessity for not only farmers but just producers in general, and about how there needs to be someone advocating for that because it's essential to us. I mean, I think that instills a lot of passion within young members, and I mean, that's the biggest reason why I look to being a part or working in agriculture is there is so much that needs to be advocated for and worked for that, I mean, you know, someone's got to do it. And I think that FFA really sets you up for that really well.
Nice. I appreciate that. Claire, I'm going to ask you the same question. If you're considering a career, and I know, like I say, you don't have to figure everything out right now, and people go through multiple careers, as Megan had said, you know, vets and policymakers, and there's a lot of ancillary employment opportunities there. Why agriculture for you?
It's pretty simple to me. I know that it's an industry that needs to be fought for. I would like to be an agriculture lobbyist. And so understanding the importance of agriculture and how it's needed on a daily basis, I want to fight for that industry and those producers that are spending each and every day working hard so that way we can get food and shelter and clothing. And so for me, I was taught that through FFA and really learning through agriculture education. And so I hope to continue to teach others more about the knowledge that I've gained through my experiences.
Cool. And Angela, I'm gonna go to you now. I mean, you're an FFA advisor and an ag teacher there, and in Roundup, Montana. Do you have students who come up to you and they go, you know, Ms. Mayfield, I really want to be whatever agriculture. I really want to be a farmer or a cattle rancher or a vet, whatever that is. And then do you have students who go, I'm not sure about this right now. What's your sense of how this transition is going, so to speak?
Sure, absolutely. You know, that's one of the greatest questions and challenges we deal with. I would say most of my students come to me not sure what they want to do after high school. And for generations, we have, for many years, decades, we've pushed our kids straight to college, and college is the right answer for some of our kids, and college is not the right answer for some of our other kids. I have students who graduated in the last couple of years that have a higher salary right now than I do, using their incredible mechanic skills, using the amazing experience that they gained through FFA and through career technical education. And so what I love most about being able to teach agriculture is that throughout the course of a day and throughout the course of a year, I get to expose students to career opportunities and then give them opportunity to build some tangible skills that really translate into success in the workplace. So, you know, I'm looking out the window right now into the shop of students operating some machinery, doing some safe skills with their woodworking projects that, you know, that hopefully they can really turn into some employable skills when they leave here. And then we offer some other certifications and training too. You know, we have a OSHA certification going on in 2 weeks here. And then we work with Billings City College to offer college credit for welding courses so that these students really get a step ahead when they leave high school.
Young leaders stepping into new roles when we talk about agriculture. We're here in studio with Claire Murnion, Montana FFA State President, just fresh from this national convention. On the phone is Executive Director Megan Iron, Angela Mayfield, Roundup Ag Teacher and Advisor, and Charlie Shaw is a junior from Roundup and a FFA member just fresh off of convention. And these numbers kind of fascinate me, you guys, in terms of, Angela, you said 80,000 kids there at national convention. That could be a little overwhelming for, you know, little old me from little old where, Podunk, Montana, so to speak. That's part of that experience too, I think. I wanted to have you share something though, before we get too far away from that. You talked, Angela, about, over the years teaching kids tangible skills, and I just wanted to, you know, if any of you guys have an example of that, an example of where, a student maybe, you know, not fully understanding what their path was, started walking out in a direction and recognized they had a calling for that. Can you share something along that line?
Yeah, absolutely. The first student that comes to mind is Russell Lang, and those of you and our listeners who've been at FFA convention have probably met Russell. He is an old soul with one of the most incredible work ethics of a student I have ever experienced. He started when he was in junior high mowing some lawns around town, and then when he got into FFA, he applied for a scholarship to help him build his lawn care business, and Montana FFA provides those scholarships, and so does National FFA. So Russell was a recipient of that, then was able to buy his first zero-turn lawn mower, and then was able to build essentially a fleet of lawn care equipment and built a company that's pretty reputable in Roundup with Russell's lawn care service, has some city and county contracts for taking care of our space here, and that project allowed Russell then to win the state title in the proficiency area for turf grass management, and he was also the state star in agribusiness because of the business he built, and he's now in Billings. He's probably in class right now, so he's probably not listening in, but he's in a diesel tech program at MSUB, but that experience of managing a program, not just a project, but an actual business that FFA gave him the opportunity to do is something that he has modeled for other students and that he will carry through into his career, I'm sure.
I like that story. And Claire and Charlie, if you got a similar kind of story, feel free to offer that. Megan, I want to have you set up because I'm going to ask Claire and Charlie. They participated in some of these national competitions. Talk about the atmosphere at a national competition. What are some of the categories? How do the kids stay focused and get prepared for it?
Yeah, so I was able to observe and judge some of the competitions at the national level. And let me tell you, the kids, I shouldn't call them kids, the students at this level are proficient in what they're doing, and they are ready and they are prepared. And it is just the absolute coolest thing to observe and also judge. And I take it very seriously. Judging these events, these students have worked so hard at, you know, whatever it is that they've chosen to compete in. And we want to make sure that we are judging accordingly and all of the things. I will tell you this. Every time I, went to, so for example, I went to the marketing sales competition where a group of four students came in and were giving a marketing proposal to a company of four people, which were the judges, and they had to present their marketing plan, and a lot of them had, actual products with them. They had presentations set up. They had all of these things that they have created along with a presentation, usually PowerPoint, that includes, return on investment, includes all of these numbers, includes SWOT analysis. And I'm sitting there watching and judging and thinking, okay, I would hire literally every single person that came into this competition. So, when it pertains to the preparedness of the students, what I see is they're ridiculously prepared. What goes into that, Angela can really speak to that as she's an advisor. I am lucky in the sense that I get to raise money that then I get to give to these students so that they're able to attend these various competitions and able to experience all of the things we're talking about. As Angela mentioned, there were 80,000 students at National Convention. I mean, when I looked out the window of my hotel, it was like just blue jackets, almost like little blue jacket ants just walking around. It was insane. I actually talked to one of the trade show security guys because I could not figure out which way to go. This place is huge. And I said, "What have you worked this every year?" And he said, "You know, I have." And I said, "Well, what do you think?" And he said, "This is my favorite convention every year." And I said, "Well, why?" And he said, "Because the students are so polite and smart and they don't cause trouble. And honestly, it's the easiest convention we have. And it just inspires all of us." So I thought that was pretty cool to hear.
It is, you know, and for people who do support, there's a lot of payback in that for your community and for your state and for your country as well. We're witnessing that, as we had kind of said, you know, we speak with FFA students and members, and boy, you just get a sense that leadership shines and it pays off. Claire, let's see, do I have enough time to get, yeah, let's try this. You were in prepared public speaking, and sir, congratulations, a silver ranking.
Thank you.
What did you speak about?
So I spoke about artificial intelligence in the beef industry, and I really explored the benefits of that actually for beef producers that sometimes they don't see, especially in our changing world, to feed that growing population.
How long did it take you to prepare for that?
Well, I started my speech almost a year ago, writing and memorizing, and I've just slowly made changes that brought me to the speech that I gave at Nationals. And I continued to practice and get better at questions because your judges ask questions once you're done presenting. So just trying to really refine those skills and continue to get better.
Congratulations. I appreciate that. And also a top 16 finish for ag issues. Charlie Shaw, again, a Roundup student. Charlie, talk about what ag issues is and the makeup of that competition.
Yeah. So ag issues is essentially a competition. Kids will pick relevant issues within the agricultural realm, and they talk about them, they present on them, and present findings and issues on this. But I think one of the biggest challenges for this competition for me personally is throughout your speech and your questions, you have to remain mostly neutral, which I think is a really, really cool part about this competition because it teaches you to look at both sides of the issue. My team personally, we talked about the benefits of coal mining, like whether the benefits of coal mining outweigh the benefits of the costs that we have on our environment and in our economy and stuff, and which this was a really personal issue for us in Roundup because, I mean, we started this topic about a year ago, and when we started, I mean, we were looking at a lot of layoffs in the Stillwater mine, which is right outside of town, and I mean, we were looking at kids on my team. We're like, if my parent gets laid off, I mean, we got to move away because, like, it's incredible to look at the amount of foundation that the mine provides for Musselshell County alone. And, I mean, there's several communities all around our country that are just like that. And I think it's really cool to sit and talk about these issues because it makes you more aware and it makes you able to simply sit there and think about how can I make an articulate argument for all of these sides. And I mean, personally, throughout this competition, I learned so much about the coal mining industry and so many valuable things on it. And I think that type of value doesn't have a lot of measure to it. I mean, it's pretty important.
Yeah, and broadening that perspective overall too, which I like about trying to balance the argument because, you know, people have those opinions. And they have a value. There's a value assigned to them as well. And you kind of have to sort through the value of those kinds of things to a lot of different groups of people to chart a path forward on that. We're talking about leadership, youth leadership, and agriculture here with members of Montana's FFA, fresh off of a national convention success as well. Montana State FFA President Claire Murnian is in studio with us here from Roundup. It's advisor and teacher Angela Mayfield, Charlie Shaw, a student there as well, and part of the Ag Issues team. We'll talk more about that here in a bit. And Megan Iron is the executive director of the Montana FFA Foundation. A couple of things to keep your eye on nationally here, too, is that the Supreme Court is looking at this case that involves whether the president has the authority for tariffs, to enact tariffs through this emergency declaration. And it's fascinating. In fact, I am understanding from Brian Bennett, our anchor supreme here, that the national news coverage is actually carrying those. And it's what it is. It's just it's not even opening arguments. I think they're just laying out their case. So it's opening. I forget the term. Anyway, huge news to probably come from that here. We'll keep an eye on that and tune into our Northern news network across the state. All right, let's get back to FFA here. And I'm going to go, as we kind of stated, I want to learn more about what you learned, Charlie. Charlie Shaw, again, Roundup student, Montana FFA member, and a member, you know, fresh off of that national experience, the Ag Issues team, did well. You talked about coal mining. I think that's a beautiful thing, and I appreciated how you expressed these things that I'm learning. I want to ask that question again. You know, what do you know now that you didn't know before you did this Ag Issue presentation?
Yeah, we spent about a year, prepping for this competition alone. And I think one of the coolest parts that allowed me to learn so many different things is we got to meet in several different forums with different companies. I mean, we talked with the coal mine. We talked with the CEO at the coal mine. We talked to the Bureau, a land protection agency. I mean, we got to see all the sides of that, and that was really cool. I mean, we learn about the massive impact of coal mining on our economy and the struggle with how do we manage, because obviously from what we've learned, coal mining is one of our most reliable sources of energy just because it is so energy dense and we have such a large abundance of that. But it's also balancing, we need to get that in a green and responsible way for our ecosystem. And how do we balance that carbon fossil fuel with also finding ways from renewable sources that allow us to protect our environment while still, you know, heating all of our homes and keeping our energy grid well-powered and things like that. And obviously, you learn the basics of how the operation of coal, which is insanely interesting. I mean, I grew up not even 10 miles from the coal mine, and I knew nothing about how coal was processed. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of regulations and legislation that goes into the processing of coal so that it is responsible and it is it's well managed. I mean, the U.S. has some of the most highly regulated rules and regulations for how we can process and sell our coal. And I think it's also really, really important and cool to look at the environmental concerns of this side as we look at, and, you know, when we come out of underground mining, there is potential for subsidence and how the coal mine is legally obligated to, you know, come in and return that land to its natural state. But also looking at the environmental impact from, you know, mercury release and carbon emissions and how that impacts us and what we can do to mitigate that and, you know, being aware and responsible of there is release from this at the end of the day. Even though coal mining is so beneficial, there are some environmental concerns that we have to, you know, keep in mind. And I think it's so cool to see the community impact that we had from that. I mean, we had several different people in our community working with us, you know, to help us understand the depth of this issue and find information about it so that we can put that into a very research-heavy portfolio. And I think the community impact is really, really cool.
She's a junior in high school, people. That's Charlie Shaw. And I think that exemplifies. We're around here, Claire and Joe and Cody and I, we're smiling, we're shaking our head. And I think that is because you're not done learning about mining, I think. You're not done learning about this. It sounds like this interest has piqued something. And Angela, I want to talk to you about that as an ag teacher and advisor. Some of these things, there's a lot of people in FFA who are not really in agriculture, and this is a prime example. You get into something or maybe a competition with FFA, and you can open a door to an industry that you hadn't even, you know, considered previously. I bet you see that, and that's probably an exciting part of your job.
Oh, absolutely. I'm sitting here watching Charlie through the window, just proud of the advocate that she is, and we've got students like this all over the the state and the country that develop their skills to really understand the big issues that we're facing and to be able to communicate those. And man, that's why I love the agriculture issues competition, because students do get to pick an issue that's relevant to them and then meet with people. And the thing I hear time and time again is, these are just people, you know, when they sit down with someone, you know, we sit down with Bull Mountain Land Alliance and the Northern Plains Resource Council and then go the next day and sit down at Signal Peak, and we can really hear, hey, here are the concerns of each side and here are the things that are important to them, and giving these students an opportunity to learn how to facilitate those conversations is a life skill that I really think is unparalleled. We really spent a bit of time, and I have to give a shout out to our state senator, Barry Usher, and our representative, Oblender, and then Representative Miner and Steve Daines' office. I mean, the students met with all of them, and they were so supportive in terms of helping provide some access for our students to information, to feedback about what this looks like in the real world. And our time sitting down with Signal Peak Mine really was such a tremendous learning opportunity for our students to understand all of the career opportunities they have. And that's pretty exciting, because we have a lot of students that go straight to work at the mine, mm-hmm. and those career opportunities are real and incredibly viable for our area. But I know that we've got a lot of listeners who may be thinking, I'm hoping right now, thinking how they might be able to connect with their local chapters. We've got chapters all around the listening area. And so for those folks who have a background in agriculture or in advocacy or in any facet of the industry, I just hope that you reach out to your local ag teacher and say, hey, how can I help support one of your competitive teams or something you're doing in your program? We have folks come in that help with our ag mechanics team. I've got a vet tech that comes in and works with our vet science team. And my goal is just to give these kids opportunities to connect with real careers and what they look like in the real world. And man, it's the best job in the world.
Yeah. Founded in 1930, there was 26 charter chapters, 443 members. Now, as Angela was saying, 109 chapters, 6,600 plus, almost 6,700 students. This is in Montana, along with 126 agricultural teachers. So there has certainly been, this has bloomed in a lot of ways. Claire Mernion is the state president for Montana FFA, and I want to have you, you know, recap, because like AI, I've been looking into AI, for a couple of years now. Blows my mind in a lot of ways. Did you kind of go through the same experience that Charlie had there for your prepared public presentation?
Yes, I definitely would agree. I got to meet with a lot of different people to learn more about artificial intelligence and the different technologies that are currently being used in agriculture and are going to be used in the future. And I got to meet with a lot of different companies from across the globe, actually, to learn about artificial intelligence. I think specifically about RanchBot, and they're an Australian company that's focused around artificial intelligence. And meeting with them was one of those absolutely amazing experiences to not only use the skills that I've developed in FFA to ask them great questions that would help me learn, but then also continue to learn more and engage with a completely different country, which was amazing.
Yeah. How many are in agriculture are really dipping in, just dipping their toe in, and how many are diving into what AI can do?
Well, right now there's not exact statistics, because you think about how new of a technology artificial intelligence really is, but we're going to see that it will continue to grow as we continue to evolve in the agriculture industry. And I think that it's definitely an emerging technology that will only continue to grow stronger.
You had talked earlier about maybe looking at policy, becoming an advocate from that side of things. When you follow through with that, AI is going to be front and center in terms of understanding policy behind, you know, making it accessible, keeping it safe and free, and also, you know, using it and not misusing it. Just from your exploration for this project here, what do you see are going to be some of the traps or some of the things that you're going to have to walk through when it comes to AI?
I think that there's a lot that we can focus on. I think, of course, there's those issues with technology maintenance and how that is going to impact, and especially there's concerns about jobs. But in reality, artificial intelligence is just going to shift some of those agricultural jobs and make them focus on some other tasks that need to be completed. I always like to say that we have a 36-hour to-do list and only 24 hours to complete that to-do list. And so artificial intelligence is going to help us to check some of those tasks off the list and just really allow us to complete that in the most amount of time possible. And then when we also focus on ethical use of AI, we also just need to think that there's always going to be a need for human judgment in the agricultural field to make sure that we are taking care of our animals and continuing to be stewards of the land and the livestock. And so making sure that that human judgment is still there is so important. And when we focus on policy, that's definitely a way that we can ensure that this will be a technology that helps agriculture and not hurts it.
You can tell that the judges have like asked questions. They hammer you. Do they hammer you with questions about AI?
Yes, definitely. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Good job with that. We're going to take a break and come on back with final thoughts here. That's Claire Murnian again, Montana State FFA president. Also on the line from Roundup, Angela Mayfield, Charlie Shaw, teacher, student, and Megan Iron is the executive director of the Montana FFA. Back with some final thoughts here. As I mentioned, Megan Iron, Angela Mayfield, Charlie Shaw, and Claire Murnian, who's in studio. Megan, I want to make sure I save enough time because there's an announcement, a rather exciting announcement you want to share.
Yeah, thank you, Tom. So we just received news about a month ago that we received the largest single gift from a private foundation to our Montana FFA students from the Tom and Joan Scott Foundation. Most of the listeners probably know who Tom and Joan Scott are, but their family founded First Interstate Bank, and they are still fully engaged and working with First Interstate Bank. But they do have a foundation that is absolutely incredible. And, you know, their foundation's focus is really, really aligned with what we do. Their mission is to invest in leadership, invest in our youth, and make a difference in their lives. They understand that investing in our youth builds healthy communities, period. And really, if you look at what the Montana FFA does, that's exactly who we are. We are nurturing and supporting these students. And so, you know, this gift is absolutely incredible. Julie Rose is the daughter of Tom and Joan Scott. She is one of the trustees. Barb Skelton, a lot of people know that name. She was one of the trustees, and I was able to work with both of them to really, you know, talk about who we are. And so this gift will benefit really anything involving the students. So none of this is going to operations, none of this is going to marketing, none of this is going to any of that. This is going fully to the students. I'll give you an example. Earlier, Angela talked about Russell Lang, and he applied for a scholarship to purchase his first zero-turn mower. That would be a perfect example. If a Russell Lang came to the foundation and said, hey, I've got this SAE and business that I want to start, but I don't have the money to buy a mower, apply for the scholarship. We're happy to help.
Thank you,
so
Megan.
That's just one of the good
stuff. Well, I appreciate that.
Tom and Jones.
Very exciting. Yeah. Very exciting. Search Montana FFA for more information on that as well. Get engaged. Search social media, 365 Days of Agriculture. That is Claire Murnian's site, podcasting, posting on a daily basis. She's the 2026 Miss American Angus as well. So we'll be talking more about that. Charlie and Angela, Megan, Claire, thank you guys all. Thanks for joining us for the podcast. And join us weekdays live from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. for more Voices of Montana on great radio stations all across our Treasure State.